considering the last reading that was read for us from the book of Micah. But let me tell you about a time 4 years ago when my wife and I spent some time in South Africa. And during our stay, we visited a cat sanctuary. Now, this isn't the kind of... A cat sanctuary in South Africa is not the same thing as a cat sanctuary in the UK. I'm not talking about house cats. I'm talking about wild cats, big cats. And so we got to stroke a cheetah, which was pretty cool. They're amazing animals. But apart from a couple of the cheetahs, which were born there and are tame, the guide was very clear about the fact that these animals are not tame. They're not friendly. They are in danger in the wild, and so they've been brought into this cat sanctuary, but they are not tame. My favourite of all of these was the caracal. Has anyone heard of a caracal? No, I hadn't before I went. A caracal is about 5 or 6 times bigger than a house cat, so probably more like a small lion than a big house cat. And these things are really vicious. They are predators. They can jump several metres into the air. They jump up and swat birds out of the sky. They attack anything that moves. In fact, the reason that these caracals are in danger in South Africa is because the farmers hate them. Our guide told us about how recently a caracal had got in amongst some farmers' sheep and in the space of 1 hour had managed to kill 50 sheep. 50 sheep in 1 hour. He wasn't killing for food. He was just killing because out of instinct, just vicious. And so I enjoyed watching this caracal prowling around behind the nice big fence until our guide opened the gate and said, "Come on in. Come into the cage with this vicious animal." He said, "I hope you don't have, your legs aren't too white. Make sure your legs aren't too white. Not that you can do anything about that. But I hope they're not too white and don't make any sudden movements, because if you do, it will just attack. It will disembowel you and we'll have to just leave you there." I'm still not sure whether he was joking or not. But you can imagine that we stayed really still as this wonderful animal ran in and out between our legs. Now, the reason I tell you that story is because in that passage that we read, the people are described as sheep under attack, an enemy prowling around. There's this dangerous enemy just outside. It's from the book of Micah, there in your Bible. You don't need to turn there, but it's there in the middle of the Bible. And he was a prophet who spoke God's word 700 years before Jesus was born. And the people he was speaking to literally had an enemy on their doorstep. The Assyrian army laying siege to their city, surrounded, no food, starving. No way of escape. A dangerous enemy, a flock of sheep who are under attack. A desperate need for protection, a desperate need for security, a desperate need for a shepherd. And Micah has a message of hope. We read it earlier, but let me read to you again verse 4. Here's Micah's promise: someone who will stand and shepherd his flock. Micah points the people forward to this shepherd who will keep the flock safe and secure. And he's talking about Jesus, the one whose birth we are celebrating at Christmas. And tonight, I want us to see that this message of hope is not just for the people back then. Security is something that we all need, something that we all crave. Babies and young children, they often have a security blanket or perhaps a special toy that makes them feel safe. What's your security blanket? What is the thing or the person that if it was taken away, it would make you feel unsafe, vulnerable? What is it that gives you the peace of mind that allows you to live securely? For some of us, it's money. Having that buffer in your bank balance. Maybe we find our security in people, the family and friends that make us feel safe. Or perhaps we feel safe because we've got a good reputation at work or at school or online. For others, our house is our castle, somewhere, a physical place where we can escape, where we can withdraw and, you know, bring up the drawbridge. Maybe for some of us, living securely means that we need to look after our health. So we think, look, if I can have a good diet, if I have plenty of exercise, then that puts up all the barriers against sickness and disease. We do all sorts of things to build walls and to protect ourselves. Because we all want to live, and we all want to live securely. Maybe some of us don't feel very safe at all, and that's the problem. When we realise that we can't control the things that matter most to us, then it sends us into a spiral of worry and despair. Or maybe we try our best just to escape reality through sport or through gaming or through alcohol or drugs or sex or endless scrolling or mindless TV. We love the illusion of security, and so we numb any suggestion that we're not actually in control. Well, God wants us to know that the danger is real. There are lots of things that threaten our security, but there's one thing more dangerous than the rest. We have an enemy. It's not an Assyrian army. It's not a caracal prowling around. But the Bible is very clear that we have an enemy, the devil, who is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It's not something we think about too much. But God says there is a real, evil, spiritual being who is powerful and active in the world that we live in. His weapons are sin and death. His aim is to bring destruction and pain. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he doesn't exist. So he flies under the radar because he is an expert liar. But actually, we can easily see the effects of his action in the world around us, in the experiences we have of destruction and pain and brokenness and evil. Now, this probably wasn't what you're expecting from a carol service. It's all been lovely, and there's lovely candles and nice songs. And now we're talking about the devil. But I need us to see that Christmas is not just a nice story for a few, but it's a necessary story for us all. Whether you know Jesus or not, you're very welcome. And tonight I just want us to see three reasons. Take a good look at this shepherd that Micah describes to see how awesome he is and to cause us to put our security in him. Three reasons why Jesus is secure. The first is this. Let's go on to the next thing. Find security in the shepherd because he will stand forever. Jesus brings security because he's more like Stonehenge than he is like a snowman. I'll read verse 4 again. It says, he will stand and shepherd his flock. He's not lying down on the job. He's active and he's effective. That word standing has the sense of enduring, continuing. So it's a bit like when you're watching athletics, if you watch athletics, and they'll say, you know, the world record for this particular event, the world record still stands. It means it carries on, it continues. If there was a world record for the longest serving shepherd, then Jesus would have it, because he stands forever. He's more like Stonehenge than he is like a snowman. Stonehenge has stood there through the storms for 5,000 years. A snowman, it looks nice for a day, but very quickly melts away. No snowman from last year is still standing today. But Jesus, Micah says, is better than a snowman. He stands forever. And if you're looking for security, that's exactly what you want, isn't it? Something that lasts. You don't want a one-year kind of, you know, subscription. You want a lifetime guarantee. Jesus is so much better than the things we often find our security in. Take money. Money gives us great security. But what about the unexpected bills? What about when you lose your job? What about retirement? Money doesn't stand forever. We feel safe in our relationships with family and friends. And that's a good gift from God. But relationships end. The people we love die. If they're our deepest security, then we're going to fall. Looking after your health, that's a good idea. We've got some 90-year-olds in the room today, that's great. that January detox, New Year's resolutions, that might well extend your life. But really, it's delaying the inevitable. No one stands forever. Except Jesus. This shepherd is no ordinary man. This Jesus, who was born 2,000 years ago, is still alive today. This Jesus has an enduring, eternal life that even lasts beyond death. The immortal Jesus took on himself a mortal human body so that he could die in the place of mortals. Our rebellion against God deserves death. He never sinned, so he didn't need to die. But he took our sin on himself. He died in our place. He rose again for our sake. And he invites us to share in his eternal life. A life that will last beyond our own death. He provides the way out of the devil's grip of death. The only way for us to stand forever is by finding our security in the shepherd who stands forever. Jesus is not a snowman. When all else falls and fails, when everything else melts away, Jesus is the last man standing. That's the first thing. Second, find security in the shepherd because he will be stronger than everything. But it's all very well that he stands forever, but does he actually have the strength required? Does he have the ability to protect us from the enemy? When you go to see a doctor, often they'll show you their ID badge. You want to be sure that they are the real deal. If this doctor is going to go and remove your spleen or whatever he's doing, you want to make sure that you're in safe hands. And now Micah shows us the shepherd's ID card. He wants us to be sure that we're in safe hands, that this shepherd has what it takes to give us security. Look at verse 4 again, if you've got it in front of you. If not, just listen. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. The Lord, that's God's name. There is one God, three persons, Father, Son, Spirit. That is the Lord, the one God. The Lord is his name. That means it summarizes everything that he is. And everything that he is a lot. It says the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. God is majestic. This is the one God who alone has all power. And Micah says, this shepherd is going to shepherd in the strength of that God. He is there in God's name. He will have God's backing, God's authority, God's strength. Because this shepherd is God. Emmanuel. We sang that earlier. Emmanuel. God with us. God become one of us, but still God. So this shepherd will be stronger than everything. That's what Micah says. And that's what you want if you're looking for security. You want something strong enough to resist an attack. We've got a picture there on the screen. I don't know if you saw this advert. Anyone see this advert? It's for the company there in the bottom corner called 3M, who make various things, but including security glass. And this was one of the adverts that they did a little while ago. So they put this glass screen in a public bus stop with a load of money inside. And they said, here's the deal. If you can break the glass, you get to keep $3 million. If you can break the glass, you get to keep all $3 million. And you can see some guys tried. I think someone actually even took a sledgehammer to it. But no one got through because it's unbreakable glass. That's the kind of thing you want if you're looking for security. Something that can resist all the battering that it takes. Thank you, Samuel. You can move on. That's what you want from something that you're putting your security in. And often, the things that we find our security in, they're not actually that strong. Your house might be your castle, your safe space, but no matter what security measures you put in place, you can still be broken into. If you've ever been burgled, you know the horrible feeling of someone violating your space. Maybe you feel like you're on safe ground because you're well respected at work, you've got good relationships, or at school you're really popular, you feel invincible, or online you've got a good following. But it just takes a few little mistakes or a few careless words for your reputation to shatter. Even when we do try to escape reality, when we attempt to numb our insecurities, actually the relief doesn't last. We're overpowered by anxiety. Eventually we're bumped back into reality. Now, I'm not meaning to be really negative and rubbish about it all, but I just want us to see that so often our security blankets aren't as strong as we might think they are. And I'm only confident to undo all of our security because I know how good Jesus is, how much better he is. This shepherd will be stronger than everything. That's good news for the sheep who are under attack. Caracals, they're pretty vicious animals. You wouldn't want to mess with a roaring lion. And Jesus says, look, our enemy is strong. He describes the devil as a strong man. But then he shows himself to be the one who has the power to tie up the strong man and take away his stuff. Our enemy is powerful, but Jesus is powerfuler. Even the moment of his greatest weakness was actually strength. Jesus allowed himself to be arrested. He allowed himself to be imprisoned. He allowed himself to be mocked. He allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed it. He said, if I wanted, I could have legions of angels at my disposal. I just have to click my fingers and they will come and rescue me. He was totally in control. He predicted his weakness. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. He had the strength to be weak. As the people he created drove nails through his hands into a tree that he had created. As he hung on that cross, weak, gasping for breath, it was strength. He broke the enemy's back. He crushed the enemy's head. The moment of defeat was a moment of victory. When he said, "It is finished," he wasn't declaring a loss, he was declaring a victory. And his strength was proved by the power of his unbreakable life as 3 days later he rose again from the dead. Our enemy, the devil, has two big weapons, sin and death. Jesus broke the enemy because he paid for our sin and he conquered death. Now, that security glass by that company, that was pretty strong. I imagine, though, if you had enough time and the right weapons, you could probably get through it in the end. Yes. But Jesus, he is stronger than everything. If you find security in Jesus, the enemy will have no power over you. Here's a third reason to find security in Jesus. Because he will spread everywhere. The second half of the verse says this. And they will live securely. These sheep, these people will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. The shepherd's name, fame and rule will be everywhere. And when that happens, the sheep will live securely. There will be a time when the greatness of the shepherd is recognized everywhere. In big cities, in dark corners, in dusty backwaters. Anywhere and everywhere, Jesus will be loved. His rule will be recognized and welcomed. And when that happens, that is the ultimate place of safety. The best way to ensure security is to get rid of all the enemies. There can't be a threat if there are no enemies left. And this here is describing a world where everything is good, where the lions are tame. There won't be any enemies because the shepherd's sheepfold has expanded to include the whole world. It's describing heaven, the place of God's reign, an eternal home where everyone will see how great Jesus is. You won't need locks on your doors. You won't need security cameras or bulletproof glass, because there will literally be no threat, no enemies. Sounds great. Except, the Bible describes us as enemies. And if we're enemies, we're not going to be there. Our rebellion against God, the wrong that we do against Him, deserves death. It makes us enemies of God. And the Bible says that if we're not in Jesus' place of security, the only other option is to suffer in the place of danger, pain, and destruction. Our enemy, the devil, would love to drag us down with him. And that's why he wants to keep us. He's doing everything he can to distract us from Jesus, to keep us living in sin rather than living in Jesus. By nature, that's where we're all heading. But Jesus, this shepherd, has disarmed the enemy. He's knocked the teeth out of the lion. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. He chose to give up his security, to suffer not just the danger of death, but death itself. And because the price has been paid, the enemy has no hold on us, and he will not drag us down with him. It doesn't mean that the Christian life is easy. It doesn't mean that Christians are immune from danger. Actually, the Bible is very clear that it's hard, it's costly, it's challenging. If you're not a Christian and you know someone here who is a Christian, they will tell you it is not easy. But if you trust in Jesus, if you find your security in Him, it does mean that you are safe, secure from the biggest danger of all. Simply by trusting Jesus, we can begin to enjoy the security that this shepherd brings, and will one day enjoy the security of heaven, where the greatness of Jesus has spread everywhere. That's the Christmas message of hope. It's not just a nice story for a few. It's a necessary story for us all. This shepherd is better than anything else that promises security. The danger is real, more real than we might think. The enemy is prowling around. But security is available. Jesus is awesome. So can I urge you this Christmas time to find security in this shepherd? Thank you so much for listening. For some of you, it might be quite new, the stuff we're talking about today. Maybe you're just beginning to find out about Jesus. Let me encourage you to keep exploring. It really is as good as what I was saying. It's better, actually, than what I was saying. And the guys, again, who you know who are Christians will be able to tell you that. And here's a few ways you might continue to explore. Here's a Christmas gift for you if you want to take it. I've got a bunch of these free books to take away, which tell you a bit more about the Christmas message. I'd love to give you one on your way out today. Please take one of them and read it. If you have questions that you want to ask, please ask me or ask the person that invited you along. We'd love to talk about Jesus with you. And you can come along. Again, come along each Sunday morning. We don't normally have an evening thing, but we meet at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. And we just do this. We find out more about the shepherd, the one who has promised this great security. Maybe there might be some of us today who are at a stage where we feel the truth of what we've been talking about today. You know that it's true, and you feel your need to have the eternal security that Jesus can bring. You want that for yourself. Even if you don't understand everything, even if you've still got questions, you know enough to know that you need the security that Jesus promises. But the way that you take hold of that free gift is simply by asking. So I'm going to close now. I'm going to close by praying. And if you want, you might want to make this prayer your own. So let's bow our heads, and I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I recognize that my heart longs for security that the world cannot provide. I recognize I am in danger of hell. I want to live forever in the security that you bring. Please forgive me for my rebellion against you, for doing what is wrong. Thank you that you died to defeat the enemy and break death. Thank you that you paid for my sin and that you are alive today. I want to live for you. So I'm coming now to take security in you. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you so much for listening and thank you for coming tonight. We're going to close our time together by singing one more carol. Hopefully one that will lift our voices as we go away from here. After we've sung this carol, do take a seat. And then please stay around for some coffee and some mince pies and some mulled wine. And do chat to anyone about anything you've heard tonight. Thank you so much for coming.